journey, new life. You may sit down. For you that are online, you just missed a wonderful opportunity to hear some beautiful music. We could close the service right now and go home and be blessed, because he is our way maker, and he does some amazing things, and you and I just need to celebrate that each and every day. If you saw the video that was sent to you, you know that Kirsten has COVID. And so I am a fill-in for you if you're a guest today, watching online or here. Come back next Sunday and you'll get a good sermon. But I want to do something right now for Tim and Kirsten. So I'm going to have everybody stand up, and we're going to turn around and look at the back at the camera. And I want you just to hold your hands out towards them. And I'm going to pray a blessing over Tim and Kirsten right now, because they're at home, probably in their pajamas watching, I don't know. But they're at home watching, and we want them to know that we miss them, and we're praying for them and praying for a speedy recovery for Kirsten. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for people that have given their whole lives to full-time Christian service. Thank you for people that have been gifted to share your word. And so today we pray that you'll bless Tim and Kirsten and their family, that you will heal Kirsten and keep Tim well, and just bless them abundantly today as they recover and as they celebrate you as a family. Thank you for the investment that they've made in our lives. Thank you for the difference. And today we want to say thank you for them and heal them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for doing that. Our church is so blessed with many, many, many people that do some incredible things. I stopped by the building this week, and Russ Dodds was out mowing the yard. He has a team of people that just make such a difference in our yard, and it's beautiful. And there's a few feet to mow, if you've ever known that. I know it takes about 3-4 hours to mow the property, and sometimes they do it twice a week. Thursday night, Lynn Block backed up her pickup to the door on the sidewalk and had a truckload of stuff for these boxes. A truckload. It was the truck was full, cab, everything. And we unloaded I don't know how many boxes. And by the way, guess how close we are? 100. It's even, they're continuing to come in, so we are just 100 short, and we can reach that thousand goal. It is okay if we go over. Yes, it is. So we can do that, and thank you for clarifying that, because we don't have to stop at 1,000. And I want to mention to you that are online watching, they're going to walk out to the sidewalk and pick up your boxes from the cars today. So if you have boxes at home and you just want to drive in here, they're going to be here, and they're going to come out and get them for you. But Jenny Wing and her team have done an incredible job with the boxes, which is just awesome. Wednesday night, some of you are in FPU. Kelly Kane is leading that. And there's just so many good things that are happening day after day, time after time in New Life, that we are just blessed. Small groups are meeting. They're small group leaders. And there's so many, many volunteers. And so today, I just want us to be grateful for what God is doing in our lives, and grateful that we can serve each other and be a blessing to Him. We're going to talk about generations today. God has blessed Barbara and I with a wonderful family. We have 4 generations represented in our family. Our 3 kids married some amazing spouses, and they've given us 8 grandkids. We now have 2 married grandsons. Our oldest grandson and his wife made us great grandparents. And this is what our great grandson looks like. Now, I want to tell you something that I never knew about being a great grandfather. We don't get to see him often. You know why? Because his grandpa and grandma are in the way. And they hog him. And we just think we deserve way more time with Gage than they will allow us to have. And so if you're a great grandparent, you understand that. You have to deal, not with the parents, with the great grand or with the grandparents. God has a sense of humor. I want us to look at these generational differences. 1973, long hair. 2003, longing for hair. 1973, acid rock. 2003, acid reflux. 1973, moving to California because it's cool. 2003, moving to California because it's warm. 1973, seeds and stems. 2003, roughage. 1973, going to a new hip joint. 2003, receiving a new hip joint. 1973, Rolling Stones. 2003, Kidney Stones. 1973, Screw the System. In 2003, Upgrade the System. In 1973, Disco. In 2003, Costco. In 1973, Passing the Driver's Test. In 2003, Passing the Vision Test. And in 1973, Whatever. And in 2003, Depends. So there are differences when it comes to generations. There are differences that you and I notice. Any parent in here ever said, someday when the kids are growing, things are going to be different? I think we probably all have said that. Someday when the kids are growing, things are going to be different. The memo pad on the refrigerator door won't read pediatrician at 2, soccer practice at 4, basketball at 5:15, and dance at 6:30. Someday when the kids are growing, the house will be free of graffiti. There will be no crayon smiley faces on the walls, no names written in the furniture dust, no pictures drawn on the steamy windows, and no initials etched in the bars of soap. Someday when the kids are grown, we'll get through the whole chapter of an engrossing book without being interrupted to rescue the iPad from the toilet, or to stop the toddler from eating dog food, or to rescue the cat from the toy box. Someday when the kids are grown, we won't find brown apple cores under the beds, empty spindles on the toilet paper roll hanger, or fuzzy calipers in the denim jeans. We'll be able to find a pencil in a desk drawer, and a slice of leftover pie will still be in the refrigerator. Someday, when the kids are growing, we'll breeze right through the gumball machine without having to fumble for pennies. We'll stroll freely down each of the aisle without fear of passing the candy or toy sections. We'll choose cereal without considering what noise it makes, what prize it contains, and what color it comes in. Someday, when the kids are growing, we'll eat quiche or scallops or just plain liver and onions. And no one will say, yuck, I wish we were having hot dogs. Or, Jimmy's so lucky his mom lets him eat chocolate bars for dinner. We'll eat by candlelight with no one trying to roast their peas and carrots over the flame to make them taste better. Or, arguing who gets to blow out the candle when we're done. Yes, someday when the kids are grown, life will be different. They'll leave our nest, and our house will be quiet and calm and empty and lonely. And we won't like that at all. And we'll spend our time not looking forward to someday, but looking back to yesterday. My friends, if we're not careful, we focus more on someday than today. And you and I today have been instructed to teach and to influence and to train and to mold the next generation. So what's the key as we think about generations? Who remembers the GPS? called Garmin? Who bought a GPS called Garmin? Do you remember that it cost several hundred dollars? I mean, there's this little box, and there might have been other brands, but Garmin's the one I remember. It sat on the dash, fell off the dash. I decided I wasn't going to rent cars with GPS if I could just pay for a Garmin. I had to pay $7 to rent cars, so I bought a Garmin, and it traveled with me all over the world. Now they're on your phone. They have become so much better. They're so much easier to use. I mean, they just keep getting better and better and better. Watch.
Starting this year, Toyota and Lexus luxury models will come with Amazon Alexa.
Alexa, turn on the AC.
Turning on AC.
Finally, a virtual assistant to help you navigate.
Alexa, where's the nearest gas station?
Nearest gas station in 1.5 miles.
And to help maintain your vehicle.
Alexa, order more brake pads.
Ordering new brake pads, although maybe if you didn't stop so close to the car in front of you.
I left plenty of room.
You drive too aggressively.
If you were just quiet for 2 seconds, 2 seconds.
She'll talk to you literally the entire time you're driving.
I think you should have turned back there.
I know where I'm going!
Hi, you know why I pulled you over?
No, officer, I have...
Because we were driving 72 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone.
Anything else I should know?
2 miles back, we rolled through a stop sign without coming to a complete stop. Also, there are illegal fireworks in the trunk.
Sir, may you just step out of the car, please?
Amazon Alexa. You'll never get away from her.
They just get better. So today, when we think about generations, what's the right key? What are the right keys? And I'm going to suggest that we use GPS as we deal with generations. It's a little different than the one you just saw. What I'm talking about is God's proven strategy, which comes and gives us three keys from God's perfect scripture. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 9, we have two major functions in life. I think the first is to learn and to put into practice, and the second is to teach and to mentor. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 19, Paul says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." Which simply says that you and I, as we're dealing and living with different generations, should be able to say to them, not because we're perfect, not because we have it all put together, but because we're seeking the Lordship of Jesus, "Hey, grandson, Gage, whatever you've seen great-grandpa do or heard or received or seen, do it." And if you and I are going to put into the practice of teaching and mentoring, I want to suggest three keys that I believe we can get from the scripture. Our vision at New Life Church is building all generations to make Jesus known. That should make every person in this room do a happy dance. Because guess what? That means every one of us, regardless of our age, are needed if we're going to make Jesus known by bridging all generations together. GPS number one, or key number one, is God's positioning strategy. Proverbs 22, verse 6, and I'm going to have lots of scripture today. The writer says, "Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 1 to 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth." When I was in college back in the 70s, we worked in a church. Barb and I worked in a church in Grove, Oklahoma. There was a very, very godly man in that church by the name of Mr. Nix. He died at the age of 105. But every day until he died, he rode his horse. He had a big cattle ranch. He would put in fence. And the man was just absolutely amazing. But he was one of the influencers in my life. I mean, he was way in his 90s. We were in our 20s when that was going on. And that man took an interest in our lives and mentored us and just absolutely invested into us. And one time when I was talking to him, I said, "Mr. Nix, why do you think you've lived so long?" And he said this, "I honored my father and my mother. Now, I know there's lots of people that have honored their parents and haven't lived it long, but look at that verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. If my parents were alive today and they came in and asked me to do something, I'd do it. Because of the respect that I had for my parents and I wanted to honor them. And yet, my friends, I understand that some of us did not come from good family backgrounds. And some of us didn't have a really good dad or didn't really have a good mom or a healthy family environment. I understand that. That's just the reality of life. But if that is your case, I hope this is what you have done. Seeing unhealthy patterns in your family and deciding that those patterns end with you and will not be passed down to future generations is an extremely brave and powerful decision. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, do not rebuke older men harshly, but exhort them as though they were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Barb and I have always positioned older people in our lives. Always. When I was a youth and music minister in Grove, Oklahoma, it was John and Lucy Bell, Raymond and Letha Broderson, and Charles and Flossie Trent. And those people were all in their 80s and 90s, and we were in our 20s, and we spent oodles of time with those people. They invested into us generations. When I taught at Platte Valley Bible College in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, it was Ed and June McQueen. When we moved to Iowa, it was Dick and Mel Brady and Max and Colleen Vandaloon. We have always wanted to be around smarter people than us. Always. We wanted to hang around people who were smarter, that could teach us, that we could learn from, who would guide us and who would love us. And we have always, always been in that position of having somebody older in our lives, mentoring, teaching, and instructing. I want to suggest that God's positioning strategy gives us two keys. The key for respectful kids, instruct and train them in the ways of the Lord. And the keys for healthy adults, model what they've learned and give time to invest in others. Bridging all generations to make Jesus known. GPS number two, or key number two, is God's protecting strategy. In 1 Timothy 5, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should first learn to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Isn't it amazing how God has designed families to protect each other? He didn't say in this verse that it's the government's job to protect us. It's the family's job. I don't remember the ages of our kids, but our three kids came to us once when they were younger, and they said, we got together and we talked, and this is what we decided we're going to do. When we are married, we are going to build big houses, and we're going to put a wing on each one of our houses that you and mom can live in. Now, when we get married and build these houses, you need to sell your property, and you need to come live with each one of us 4 months at a time. I mean, they had worked this out. You don't have to mow yards. You don't have to plow snow. You don't have to do anything. And I mean, they were dead serious. In fact, I said, are you serious? Yeah, we are. I went out to the office. I typed it out, and I made them sign it. And I have that sheet of paper because all three of them are married, and they have houses, and there's no parental wing on the houses whatsoever. And at some point, at the right time, I'm going to remind them of the promise that they made to us a long time ago. We need to provide for each other. James, the first chapter, verse 26, 27, those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. And I started with this verse because how we talk is a part of God's protection plan. My friends, you and I do not have to say everything we think. Say you're right. And we don't repeat what we've heard, because most of the time it's inaccurate. How we talk is part of God's protection strategy. And if you want to know how people talk about you when you're not around, just listen to them how they talk about people when you are around. And that's a pretty good indicator of what they say about you when you're not around. And then he goes on and says this: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As families, as a church family, as friends, we have a responsibility to each other. Many years ago, Barb and I were introduced to a couple that had no children, and their names were Don and Doris. They lived in West Des Moines, and they just kind of latched onto us and kind of claimed us, and we latched onto them and started just doing stuff with them. It started out with going out for a sandwich all the time. They'd call up, "Were you doing anything tonight?" "No, let's go out for our sandwich." So we'd go out for a sandwich. And it just became a really cool relationship. They were elderly people, could not have kids, absolutely loved our kids, and our kids loved them, and we started this relationship. But I'm going to tell you, I made a commitment to them that I would take care of them till they died. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't fun. In fact, it's pretty messy. Don slipped on the ice, broke his hip, and died. That left Doris, who was living by herself, but then couldn't live by herself. Had to move her into assisted living. I will tell you, she said things to me that I've never heard ever come out of her mouth. It was not fun. It was not cool at all. And then from assisted living into full-time nursing care, ooh. But you know why we did it? Because that's part of God's plan. We take care of each other. And my encouragement is that he has a protection plan for generations that is important for us to follow. And the key, if you're a child, for responsible kids is to teach them to care and to honor their family. And the key for a healthy adult is to model godly speech, model compassion, and loving care for their spiritual and physical family. Do you see why a GPS in generations is important? Do you see why God's plan makes a difference? The third GPS that I want us to think about is God's promising strategy. In Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts." These commands are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the street, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is a command, it's a responsibility, and it's a privilege. Every moment we are with our kids is a teaching moment. Every minute I'm with my grandkids, it's a teaching moment. Every minute we are together as a church family, it is a teaching moment. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Doing it for kids is not teaching it. Fixing it for kids is not teaching them. Cheating for them is not teaching them. Buying it for them is not teaching them. Making excuses for them is not teaching them. And if we're going to take this passage of Scripture to heart, then I want to suggest our kids don't decide if they come to church or not. Church isn't all in all, but I want to tell you something. I want my kids around older adults who love the Lord. And I don't want to offend anybody, but they don't decide when they get older if they come to youth group or not. They don't. You live in my house. I want them to be influenced by Tim or caring leaders from the Orange Program. I want them to be influenced with Tony and the other caring leaders. And that isn't an option because the writer says to me, impress on your children. Talk to them when they're at home, when they're on the road, when they're lying down, when they're up. These need to be on your door frames of your house. And my friends, if we're going to create generations that love the Lord, these are the kinds of things we have to do. Yes or yes? A couple years ago, the elders and wives were invited to the youth group. And we sat around as elders and wives with some of those kids, and they just asked us questions. It was awesome. We need to create moments when we can pour into our generation. And if we're going to teach them to love the Lord with all their hearts and souls and strength and mind, it's going to take every person working together. What's our vision? Our vision is to bridge all generations to make Jesus known. And in Proverbs 29:17, the writer says, discipline your children and they give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. We have friends. Their kids do nothing that they're told to do. I mean, their parents will tell them to stand up and they'll just stay seated down. Their grandma yells at them all the time. And Barbara and I just are amazed. Those kids are going to have a boss someday that will fire them because of insubordination. They don't know how to respond to authority. That's why we teach this stuff. That's why as a church, we are wanting all generations to come together and influence each other. And guess what? I can learn from the youth group just as much as they can learn from me. We have riots going on right now, looting and shooting. We live in an undisciplined world. I don't know if you've noticed. We're living in a time when people don't love the Lord their God with all their hearts. And oh, God, have mercy on us. But a lack of discipline shows that we don't love them, from my perspective. So what's the key for productive kids? Teach them and discipline them. What's the key for healthy adults? Model the Lordship of Jesus in their lives. If we're going to do that, here's five things that are going to happen. If we model the Lordship, or when we model the Lordship, we're going to rejoice, we're going to feel His presence, we're going to pray, and we're going to have a heart full of peace. Philippians, the fourth chapter, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When He is Lord, we focus on excellence. Brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Do you understand how we would influence the generation when we live this stuff? Impact people when we live this stuff, when we think like this. When Jesus is Lord, you put into practice what we have learned, whatever you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. Put it into practice. We trust His plans. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And when we make Jesus Lord, we tell the next generation. Hear this, elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? I want so badly for wonderful things to happen in this church that you and I tell our grandkids and they tell their kids, and they just keep perpetuating the stories of what God has done in our lives through the generations. I know you want that too. He says, tell it to your children. And let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. Everyone's prayer in this room should simply be, Lord, use me to impact generations. So we started talking about a GPS and what the benefits are of a GPS, and the worship team can come forward, please. We started talking about what that means. Well, when we're using God's GPS, this is what it means. Every generation will know where you are. Every generations will take you to the unknown. Will generally give you the best directions. They'll show you a detour when there's an obstacle. They'll correct you if you make a wrong turn. And they'll model the benefits of allowing Jesus to be Lord of everything. Let's find that GPS and let's live it. That proven strategy that God has given to us. Because there's one more verse that I want to share with you. Deuteronomy 7:4. Know therefore that the Lord your God is your God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Our privilege, our responsibility, our challenge is to be a church of generations that make Jesus the absolute Lord of our lives. But a church of generations that creates stories and experiences to keep telling and to keep sharing. So there is no person in this room, there is no person watching that cannot understand you are needed, you are valuable, you are important, and you are necessary. For new life to be healthy, because we need every generation teaching and instructing and mentoring. Let's accept the challenge. And even though it might be an unknown territory and it might be something that you've never ever done before, there's a GPS that will guide you. There's a GPS that will instruct you. And you and I will be better people because of it. Let's stand together and let's worship.